Told the Seder Olam says that the bris, this covenant, was made when Avram Avinu was 70 years old. And when we talk now about the Nevuah, the prophetic vision, that occurred 5 years later and he was 75. It says 5 years before Avram was given the commandment, Lech Lecha, go and settle permanently in Eretz Yisrael, God had him go to Canaan, where he showed him a vision. This was the enduring covenant that after a Golus his descendants would encounter, including Egyptian subjugation and slavery, Avram's offspring would emerge free and be granted Eretz Yisrael as an eternal heritage. That's okay. That's all I'm doing in here. So, you see that? Thank you. So we're told, the Medrash says, tells us that Avram had given Melchizedek the miser, right? It was after the war. And he said to himself, "Self, I'm worried that in going to war, there were casualties. Is it possible that some of the casualties that I caused were actually righteous?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, "Altira, don't be afraid. You plucked thorns from the field." But Avram was still not, it says, at ease. And he wondered, is it possible that my chelek and olam haba, my share of the world to come, has been consumed by this tremendous victory? Don't forget, he says, I escaped Nimrod's furnace. I knocked out the four kings, right? And he probably felt that he had already received from the Rabboni Shel Olam more than he ever earned. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in spite of what you've experienced, nothing of your future reward has been mitigated, taken away. You, by your actions, deserved. You were worthy of every miracle I did, because all you ever did was act l'shem shamayim. You only acted for the sake of myself, the Rabboni Shel Olam, and therefore your schar, your reward, is complete. Then Avram said, may I ask a question? And Hashem said, ask, what do you wish? And he said, I understand what you've said, but if I never have children and I'm barren, how, you know, what is this?
What's it worth?
Right. The reason for Avram's strong desire to have a child, because he wanted to leave descendants who would serve Hashem. He said, who's going to stand here in my place?
He's going to continue what I started.
Will it be Lot? Or is there any other excellent student that I have? Maybe Eliezer, who was a Talmud Chacham? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. Your own son is going to take your place. And Avram Avinu said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I've looked into the constellations, and whatever it means, I see the way the world is now, I am not destined to father a child. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget about the study of astrology. You have to go and look above the stars. I don't know what that means, but he said, I am promising you that neither you nor your descendants are subject to normal muzzle. There is nothing in the secrets, I guess, hidden in creation that can tell you what's going to happen to you or your descendants throughout time.
So you are above everything.
Right.
You're
above nature. Right. It says, it once happened that Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan were standing at the gates of Tveria, and they stood side by side with two Gentile astrologers who observed many, many workers going to the fields. And they said to the two Chachamim, these astrologers, look at these workers. They're going out to work, but they're not coming back alive. They are destined to die of a snake bite. I guess there'll be a snake infestation, whatever. Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan didn't answer. And they waited until the workers actually returned. And they saw specifically two workers who the astrologers said, these guys are toast. They ain't coming back. And they turned to the astrologers and they said, here's Chaim and Yankel. You said that they're on their way to their deathbeds. What are they doing walking back in front of us? Yes, they said. Not only that, said the Chachamim, but look, they're at peace. They look happy. They look satisfied from a day's work. The astrologers asked the two men, what happened today? They said, what happened today? What happens? We get up. We say Shema Yisrael, which is a mitzvah min Torah. Then we daven Shmona Esrei, which is what the Chachamim told us to do. And then we go to work to basically put in our hishtadlus. Aye, they said, now we understand. We didn't realize when we saw you that you were Jews, descendants of Avraham Avinu. We have a tradition that astrologers' predictions generally have no validity vis-a-vis Jewish people. It says that Klal Yisrael, we may think, has a muzzle at times, but tefillah, tzedakah, and mitzvot are able to change the reality. There is no absolute reality for a yid. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, your descendants will be as many as the stars in heaven. Other times he said, like the dust of the earth or the sand. And Avram's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell, had perfect belief in what Hashem said. He didn't ask for any sign whatsoever. Hashem said it, Azoy Darf Zayin, this is going to happen. We're told that Avram Avinu's faith, right, is how the world somehow was inherited by Avram and his descendants, and that's the way Olam Haba is available to his descendants. He says, I'm going to tell you a story about truthfulness, and apparently it's a well-known story about the weasel in a well. A young girl lost her way. She became thirsty and she found a well. She ran towards it and she saw there was a rope in it. And she said, I'm going to go down. But all of a sudden, she couldn't come back up. So she began to cry. Even though there was likely no one around, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused a young boy to come by, and obviously he heard her, and he took her out. Right? He said to her, I will gladly help you. And I don't know how the juxtaposition. And then he says, but I want you to agree to marry me. Now, I never heard of a courting like this. Oh, I saved you from a well. And they agreed. And somehow they made a promise to one another. And they said, we agree that we are as if we're betrothed. And the boy said, as soon as I'm able, I will come to where you are and I will, you know, we'll get married. And she said, okay, but if you're going to tell me we have the halachic status of betrothal, where are our witnesses? We need Adam. And he said to her, there's a weasel that passed by. Let the weasel and the well be the witnesses. It says, unfortunately, time goes on. The boy forgets the incident. He marries someone else. She gives him a son, but the baby dies. And it was bitten by a weasel. That's what caused it. Another little boy was born that fell into a well. The wife said, I don't understand. We lose one to a weasel, one to a well. And he remembered what happened. He told his wife the story that he had forgotten. And she said to him, God is telling you, you've got to find that young lady. You had no right to break your word. That he went to the town where she was and asked by her name, and they said, "Aye, there's some deranged lady here waiting for a guy she married next to a well with a weasel." And we've tried to match her with people, but she has a terrible reaction. The man came to her house and told the father, and he said, my wife insisted that we get divorced because our marriage would never be successful. The father brought him to the girl, but when he tried to speak, she began to basically act strange. She began to scream. Then he said, the weasel and the well. The girl fainted. And when she recovered, she was back to her normal mental state. Chazal tell us they were married and they had a life of bracha. They saw children and grandchildren. And this notion of keeping our word is presumably what we're supposed to learn from this story. Okay. I don't know what the rabbi said. Did it happen? Is it a metaphor or whatever? Hashem promised Avram Eretz Yisrael for his children. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avram, you're going to have a child and he's going to be the inheritor of Eretz Yisrael. And it says, now he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a sign that this is going to happen. Avram's reason was not a lack of faith in Hashem. It was a lack of faith in what human beings would be. Could human beings act so inappropriately as to eradicate this bris? Hashem said no. I am telling you that even if your descendants will sin, I have given them the Seder of Korbanos. You have a Chatas, an Asham, etc., right? You have the Yom Kippur animals to eradicate sin. And it says Hashem demonstrated to Avram this by telling him to prepare 3 bullocks, 3 goats, 3 rams, a dove, and a turtle dove, representing various offerings. The bullocks, one is the one brought on Yom Kippur. The other one was if Beis Din were to make an error, Paskind, and people followed it erroneously. The third one, it says, was to symbol, right? Oh, did I get it wrong? 1 second. We lost a bullock. I guess okay, we have 2 bullocks. We haven't accounted for the third. The one, it says, has one of the carbonites represents what we just learned in the Gemara, the Egla Rufa, when a murdered individual is found in the open. We have the goat of Yom Kippur, right, which is the one that we send out to Azazel, and then we have the goat, which is in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and then we have a goat. Yeah, and then we have a goat, which was a chatas by an individual. Rams are an asham of a man for who knows he did a sin. An asham tolui, where you don't know if you sinned.
Questionable.
Right, it's questionable. And then a lamb for a chatas for another type of sin. So Avram Avinu, right, says, okay, I think this is a Gemara. He says, I understand. He says, that's great. When the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash will be there, they will have karbanos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand, I perceive that for most of history, the Klal Yisrael is not going to have the ability to bring karbanos. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do have the Torah sections. You've got Korbanos at the beginning of Shacharis and the beginning of Mincha. And he said, say them before me and I will consider it as if you brought the Korbanos. Hashem said to cut the animals into parts, except for one bird, symbolizing that an oila, a oila sacrifice is cut, but not the chatos of a bird. And then we have this vision. Avram falls asleep. Hashem tells him about the golus that's going to occur in Mitzrayim, how they're going to come out. Hashem tells him about the 4 golus that Klal Yisroel are going to have to go through. Right? There's Bavel, there's Media, there's Greek, and there's our long, terrible Roman exile. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, remember one thing and teach it to your generations. Nobody will ever imperil Klal Yisroel and get away with it. And even though I will send Claudius Roll to the four ends of the earth, I am bringing them back. Claudius Roel is going to be in Eretz Yisroel. And when I bring them back, then they're there in perpetuity.
They won't disappear. And they won't disappear during history. I think that was the most important part. Regardless of how
bad things are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, if you're afraid of the level of sin, I have Gehenim, that I can cleanse Yiddish and Neshamas. Now, Avraham, choose. Which do you want your descendants to experience? He says, if you don't want exile, I can drop them, I guess, for a time in Gehenna and bring them back? Again, that's what it seems. Avram had an agonizing choice. On the one hand, he knew that the tribulations that could occur and would occur and have occurred, right, are easier to bear than the suffering in Gehenna. But he also knew the danger of exile. Avram Avinu, I imagine, could foresee the terrible assimilation that could happen and has happened to our people. And it was only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, I personally guarantee that Klal Yisroel is as permanent in existence as anything else. It may be the, you know, it's at, maybe it's as permanent as the Torah. I don't know. That's my own thing. This was called the bris between the cut parts, because he cut up some of the korbanos. Hashem said, you are going to eventually drive out 10 nations from Eretz, from the land of Canaan. And I think the biblical maps of what Avram's descendants should get at the end of, right, include Syria and may other parts around there. They also, maybe even Iran and things like that.
Lebanon, Syria,
Iran,
Iraq.
Iran, maybe.
I don't know about Iran.
I don't know,
they
maybe
say,
Iran.
They say up to the rivers.
Tigris?
Yeah.
The Tigris and Euphrates. Right. This is the promise that we have to look forward to with the arrival of Mashiach. The absolute ownership forever of the land the Kadosh Baruch Hu designated for us. The Parsha continues with Avram marrying Hagar, giving birth to Yishmael. And we read that on Rosh Hashanah. That was the laning. And then we have the, what we're called, the eighth test of Avram Avinu, being Bris Milah when he was 99 years old. And we will pick up from this going further when we do in Chumash. Okay.
So the Bris happens even before this has to happen.